Support for this podcast comes from the Central Valley Journalism Collaborative, connecting communities with the resources, infrastructure, and networks to ensure a vibrant local free press.
From KVPR in Fresno, this is Central Valley Daily. Happy Friday, it's November 21st. I'm Elizabeth Arcalian. The Tohono Indian Tribe in Kern County recently opened up its own casino. It's branded Hard Rock Tohono.
We'll be able to look back, and our children and our grandchildren will look back and say, this is the moment that everything changed for us and our fortunes changed.
We speak with the tribe's chairman and discuss the significance of the casino's opening. But first, these headlines. A new investigation by the publication Capital and Maine and the Los Angeles Times says children as young as 12 are working in the state's agriculture fields. The reporting finds that state enforcement of child labor laws is, quote, negligible, with few citations and fines issued. Most of the child workers come from immigrant families who are reluctant to report poor working conditions. The California State University Board of Trustees voted unanimously this week to approve a new compensation package that boosts pay for campus presidents. The plan raises base pay toward what similar universities in the country offer, according to the board. It also adds the chance for presidents to earn an additional 15% pay increase based on annual performance incentives. Prior to this, CSU presidents made $453,000 a year in average base pay, and their salaries ranged from $370,000 to more than $500,000. CSU Chancellor Mildred Garcia says the new incentives and compensation will not come from student tuition or state funds.
Participation in the performance incentive plan and deferred compensation plan will be funded through non-state, non-tuition, and non-student fee resources. In other words, no student tuition, student fees, or state general funds will be utilized.
The chancellor's office says the goal is to keep presidential pay competitive so the system can recruit and retain leaders for its 22 campuses, while most of the budget continues to go toward faculty and staff pay. In other higher education news, regents with the University of California system convened this week, and they agreed on a tuition hike for students. The new fees will begin in the fall of 2027. Julia Barajas with our news partner LAist has the details.
The move extends a tuition stability plan launched in 2022. Under the original plan, annual tuition hikes were capped at 5% and locked in for 6 years. Under the revised plan, if UC would need to go over that 5% cap to keep up with inflation, it can bank the excess cost for another year when inflation might only go up by a couple points. UC leaders say the hike will generate money to keep the system afloat and that the plan allows parents to plan long-term for education costs.
That was Julia Barajas in Los Angeles. The state attorney general's office is declining to prosecute a Fresno police officer involved in a shooting in 2023. The shooting killed Fresno resident Robert Corchado. Attorney General Rob Bonta's office released a report saying the officer appeared to be defending himself when he shot Corchado. Authorities say Corchado fired at officers before they shot back and killed him. The Trump administration is proposing new oil drilling off the coast of California and Florida. A plan proposed by the Interior Department would open up new drilling on federal waters near California and Florida for the first time in decades. This comes as President Trump seeks to expand U.S. oil production that's already leading the world. The plan was met with strong opposition from California Governor Gavin Newsom and other state officials. Tourism and access to clean beaches are key parts of the economy in both states.
Is Fresno better off than it used to be? I'm Carrie Klein, associate editor here at KVPR. In 2005, the city was found to have some of the highest poverty rates in the country. Data show the city's economy has improved since then, but has that been everyone's experience? If you live or work in Fresno, we want to hear from you. Please take 5 minutes to fill out a survey and help inform some upcoming reporting. Find it at kvpr.org/Fresno Survey.
And now to our main story. A new entertainment space has opened up in Kern County, and it has sparked headlines from LA to San Francisco. The Hard Rock Casino Tejon opened last week, and it includes a live music venue, restaurants, hundreds of hotel rooms, and of course, a casino. The venue sits at the base of the Grapevine at the intersection of Highway 99 and Interstate 5. Officials and residents are hailing the space for bringing jobs, revenue, and entertainment to Kern County. But this is also bringing economic opportunity for the Tejon Indian Tribe. Octavio Escobedo III is the tribe's chairman, and he says the tribe plans to reinvest revenue from Hard Rock Casino Tejon into social programs for the more than 1,000 enrolled tribal members. I spoke with Octavio shortly after the casino's grand opening, and he starts our conversation by telling us what the casino offers.
So we just opened last Thursday. We have an expansive 150,000 square foot gaming space with multiple restaurants, outlets to come and eat at while you're there. So it's not just for gamblers. You have a great entertainment space for the southern end of the Central Valley.
And just to be clear for listeners, I mean, this is a $600 million project. The SF Gate called it a mega casino. So what did it take to bring such a big project to fruition?
Well, it's very flattering to hear it referred to as a mega casino. I think, you know, we're top five or so in size in California. We definitely have some bigger ones here, but we are one of the largest out the gate here. It takes a lot of work. I mean, it's many years of administrative processes that have to be gone through to get here, both at the local county level, the state level, and at the national level in Washington, D.C. So I personally been working on the project for over 10 years. And it was going on another 10 plus years before that.
Wow.
So 20 plus years in the making, getting here to this point. And, you know, just a lot of great work from a lot of great people.
You know, reports are saying this casino rivals ones even in Las Vegas, which is obviously the West Coast epicenter of gambling and entertainment. So now that Hard Rock Tejon's open in Kern County, how do you hope to shape the entertainment space here?
Well, I think one of the things that we've known in all the years that we've talked about this project and worked on it, especially from an analysis point of view of the population, is that Central Valley is greatly underserved in entertainment. Not so much maybe in tourism. You know, the region does over $2 billion a year in tourism. But from an entertainment perspective for local dollars, is definitely something that's been lacking. So to be able to bring something like this to the people of the Central Valley is something that we're very proud of.
What's unique about this casino as well is that compared to other tribal casinos around the valley, your tribe is partnering with Hard Rock, which has cafes and hotels across the country. So what initiated that partnership and why was this the right direction for you?
Well, I think just in, you know, talking about California and tribal gaming as a whole, there's multiple commercial partners that are here operating with tribes. So we're not the only one. But definitely in the valley, it's a unique position to be in. But really what brought us there was an existing friendship between one of our tribal administrators and the recently passed general counsel for Central Tribe of Florida. So it really started as a tribal to tribal relationship. And so Hard Rock International being owned by the Central Tribe of Florida makes it extra special that this is a tribe helping another tribe to help uplift our people. And, you know, we've been multi-generations of poverty and challenges in life that something like this will help drive our future generations out of those positions.
Yeah. Will folks in the tribe work at the casino or how does that work for people kind of outside that space? Is there any incentive or opportunity for tribal members to be involved?
Yeah, absolutely. I think what we've seen, and me specifically, I've met a ton of tribal leadership all across the country and that own casinos. And really interesting is that I think the highest we've seen is about 10% of their tribal enrollment that actually are employed by a casino. And usually it averages about 1 to 1.5%. So our goal is to be in that 5 to 10% range of enrollment employed, and we're currently hitting that target right now. We have almost 100 team members that are employed at the casino.
And you touched on this a bit, but what does it mean for tribal members to have this casino open? I'd just love if you'd talk about the tribe a little bit for listeners who aren't familiar and just how big you are and how this casino supports the tribe.
So over 1,500 tribal members currently enrolled. I think everyone's just very proud of what we've accomplished. I think that there's a touch of sadness that so many tribal members have passed, so many tribal elders have passed, even in the recent years up until 2 weeks before we opened. We had our eldest elder pass away less than 2 weeks before we opened. Wow. And it was very sad, you know, to think about the people that aren't here today to see this, what we see and tribal members see as a pivotal moment in time that we'll be able to look back and our children and our grandchildren will look back and say, this is the moment that everything changed for us and our fortunes changed. And we are able to provide healthcare and we're able to provide education. We're able to provide, you know, things like daycare and anything that we're able to provide that helps from a program perspective, a social service perspective. This isn't about handing out checks and cash. Like, I think there's kind of like, you know, just common misconception about how casino revenue works. I think some tribes do that are much smaller than ours, but we're a big tribe. We can't do that. So we've established a social services program that we kind of did a test run during COVID for, and those funds are no longer available. So we're basically going to roll that back out again to tribal members. And so they understand that these social service programs that we're setting up are really life-changing. So anywhere we can help and plug in these resources that we're gaining from this casino is going to be a value and a welcome help to all of our tribal families.
So just so I understand, it sounds like revenue from the casino will go into these social programs to support the tribe rather than handing over a check with cash. It's more, how can you support the tribe in the long term?
Absolutely. I think our term that we use here that we fully embrace as a tribe as a whole is tribal financial sovereignty, not just tribal sovereignty, but financial sovereignty. We want to be financially sovereign. We want to be able to take care of ourselves with our own money and our own revenues gained through this casino.
So now that you're open to the public, what's next for the tribe?
On to the next challenge. You know, for us, we're kicking off our master planning session for the build out of our community at the same site on the northern half of that property. That's already begun. That's a very exciting project for us to figure out, you know, how we can start bringing these tribal members back to our homeland and what does that look like. So between that, we have a couple other small projects, a convenience store project, and really, there's no rest for us. You know, we have a very ambitious vision for what it means to rebuild this community, this tribal community, and this casino is going to provide those resources to be able to do that.
Octavio Escobedo III, chairman of the Tohono Indian Tribe, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
And that is today's show. Do you like what you hear on Central Valley Daily? Support the show by leaving a 5-star rating in your podcast app. Or even better, share the podcast with a friend. We really appreciate your support. Today's episode was produced by Jonathan Linden and KVPR with support from the Central Valley Journalism Collaborative. I'm Elizabeth Arkalian. You can find the latest local news anytime at kvpr.org.
Sources and methods, the crown jewels of the intelligence community. Shorthand for how do we know what's real? Who told us? If you have those answers, you're on the inside, and NPR wants to bring you there. From the Pentagon to the State Department to spy agencies, listen to understand what's really happening and what it means for you. Sources and Methods, the new national security podcast from NPR.